Padastrayo Bahishchasan Aprajanam Yashamaha Antas Trilokyas Traparo Vihamedho Brihadvrata. The spiritual world, which consists of 3/4 of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the 3 material worlds. Purport. The climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma, or Sanatan Dharma, is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditioned life of material existence continues birth after birth. Human civilization, in which there is no control of sex life, is a 4th-class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are related to the material body, and they have nothing to do with the spirit soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the law of deterioration. Om Ajana Timirandas. Here we've been reading about the 2 divisions of the Lord's cosmic manifestation. One is the material division, material cosmos, and the other is the spiritual section, which consists of 3/4 of the Lord's energy. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, the material world is repeatedly created and destroyed, and it's a place of repeated birth and death, old age and disease. But the spiritual world is transcendental. Mamupetya tu kontiya punarjanma navidyate yagadva nanivartante taddhama paramam mama. That spiritual world is the place from which, having gone, one never returns. So the business of the human being is to get out of this conditioned life of material existence and return home back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. In order to do that, one has to become freed from material attachments. If I'm attached to this world, how can I go to that world? And the number one attachment is sex attachment. The material world is called maitunyagara, or the shackles of sex life. In the prison, a prisoner is behind bars, or he's shackled against his will. But the power of the material energy is so strong that although the sex attachment is the cause of continuing suffering, the living entity voluntarily attaches himself for so-called sex enjoyment and prolongs his misery. Yanmaitanadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. This meager happiness is the basis of material existence. Pumsastriyo maitani bhavametam tayor mito hridya grantam ahu. Male is attracted to female, female is attracted to male, and when they combine, then a tight knot forms in the heart. Hridya grantam ahu. Ata griha kshetra sutta apta vittai. Then one becomes preoccupied with home, land, children, money, relatives, janasya mohoyam, and one becomes bewildered. Aham mameti, thinking that I am this body and that which is in relationship to this body is mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Therefore, the problem, yes, the problem of material existence is the problem of this body. I'm spirit soul. I have nothing to do with this material existence. Asango hiyam purushaha. But I'm entangled in material existence. And the symbol of that entanglement is this material body. And the as long as I have this body, I have all troubles. And as long as I have material attachment for sex life, then I have to go on with this material body. Because the sex life is going only on the basis of this body. Where the body is going only on the basis of sex life. The repeated birth and death is going on account of attachment for sex. So one who can stop sex or stop the attachment for sex enjoyment can stop the process of birth and death. In order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy, beginning from the order of Brahmachari. The Brahmachari life is for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have had no taste of sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy. And once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of the three-fourths energy of the Lord. The brahmacharis are to be trained to strictly avoid sex life. Sex life is described smaranam kirtanam keli prekshanam guya bhashanam sankalpo vyavayascha kalasam patirevacha. Sex life has these divisions. Smaranam, to think about sex life, and kirtanam, to talk about sex life. And keli. Keli means dallying with the opposite sex, joking and playing games. This is called keli. Smaranam kirtanam keli. Prekshanam, glancing at the opposite sex. And guya bhashanam, to talk in a secluded place, to talk privately with the opposite sex, called guhya bhashanam. sankalpa, to become attached to the idea of enjoying sex life, to decide, let me enjoy sankalpa. And vyavahayascha, to make endeavors for sex life, make some program for enjoying sex. And kali sampatirevacha, actually to indulge in sex life. These are the divisions of sex. And celibacy means to strictly avoid all of these divisions, all of these activities. Smaranam kirtanam keli prekshanam guyabhashanam sankalpo vyavayascha kalir sampatirevacha. So the brahmacharis are trained from the beginning. They're trained to address every woman as mother. Matravat paradarishu. They're trained from the beginning. So by careful training, strict training, the brahmachari gets a proper direction in life. How to avoid sense gratification. How to avoid the trap of so-called sense enjoyment. Materialistic way of life means encouraging sense enjoyment. To get deeper and deeper into the material energy. And spiritual life means to cut oneself free from the material energy. O brahmachari gurukule vasandanta gururita. From the age of 5, the child in the varnashram system is sent to the place of the guru to be trained, especially in this freedom from sex attachment. And by remaining free from this sex attachment, the brahmachari can stay free for his whole life. Or if he enters the grihastha ashram, he can control his senses. Danta guru arhitam. He learns how to control his senses so that he can become a self-controlled householder and not a grihamedhi, a materialistic householder. It is already explained that in the cosmos of 3/4 energy of the Lord, there's neither death nor fear, and one is full of the blissful life of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of the life of a brahmachari. A householder is recommended to quit home at the end of 50 years. Panchashordham vanam vrajeh, and live in the forest. Then, being fully detached from family affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Well, this is the system that the better to avoid householder life altogether. Otherwise, if one is so trained, even if one enters householder life, at the appropriate time, one can give it up. By nature's arrangement, at a youthful age, the sex desire becomes very strong. The one who has been trained strongly as a brahmachari can resist the force of sex life. Or, if he's not able to resist it completely, he can enter the householder ashram and live under the principles of self-restraint in householder life. Then the self-controlled householder is recommended to cut the attachment completely later in life and accept the vanaprastha ashram and finally sannyas. Otherwise, if under different pleas one goes on and on in householder life, it means that one is attached to this association of woman for so-called happiness. And if I'm attached to this happiness, how can I get that happiness, the happiness of the spiritual world? So one who's properly trained gives it up to engage fully in the service of Krishna. Any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. The principles of nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process, in the highest degree, is recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, with clear perception of ideal perfection. Although basically there's no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. Now, there may be differences in the details of the philosophy or the details of the way of life, but on this principle, they're all agreed that the Shankarites, the Buddhists, the Vaishnavas, none of them says, go ahead, indulge in sex life, develop your attachment for the opposite sex and be happy. Only some idiots of the modern Kali Yuga who pose as sannyasis or pose as spiritual people encourage their followers to live like cats and dogs and remain trapped in the material world. Otherwise, every legitimate religious system recommends detachment from sex life. In the Christian world also, celibacy is recommended. So, because by celibacy, one develops to the point of freedom from material existence. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The pious householders, or the fallen yogis, or the fallen transcendentalists, can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world, one-fourth of the energy of the Lord. But they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. Abrihadvratas are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The vanaprastas, or those retired from family life, and the sannyasis, or the renounced persons, cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis do not intend to take rebirth, apraja, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex life. Such a fall down by the spiritualist may be compensated by another chance for human life in good families of learned Brahmins or of rich merchants for another term of elevation. But the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. Otherwise, the whole policy of human life will prove to be a failure, a total failure. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in advising his followers in this matter of celibacy. One of his personal attendants, Chota Haridas, was severely punished by Lord Chaitanya because of his failure to observe the vow of celibacy. For a transcendentalist, therefore, who at all wants to be promoted to the kingdom beyond material miseries, it is worse than suicide to deliberately indulge in sex life, especially in the renounced order of life. Sex life in the renounced order of life is the most perverted form of religious life, and such a misguided person can only be saved if by chance he meets a pure devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very strict. He never approved of indulgence in sex by those who were supposedly in the renounced order of life. Lord Chaitanya said, Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigamashor Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayanam Atayoshitam Cha Ha Hanta Hanta Vishabhikshanato Pyasaitu. For a person who's serious about getting beyond Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence, this is like drinking poison. This is like willingly drinking poison. What is that? Sandarshinam Vishayinam Atayoshitamcha. To associate with the Vishayis, those who are cultivating a life of sense enjoyment. And Yoshit. Yoshit means woman. The members of the renounced order have no business with woman. They have no business associating with woman for happiness. They're strictly forbidden to have any such relationship. Otherwise, there's no question of his being a sannyasi or attaining perfection in the human form of life. He becomes fallen. He becomes fallen. It's a great danger. This is the great impediment to freedom from material existence. Otherwise, without sex life, anyone can get free from material existence. But this stumbling block is provided by material nature, sex enjoyment. Again and again, this is Maya's weapon for keeping the conditioned soul suffering in conditioned life. Maya has a throwing potency. Maya has a covering potency. So these potencies are capable through the power of sex life. By the power of sex life, one falls into the spirit of material enjoyment, and by the spell of sex life, one thinks, and now I'm actually happy, now I'm actually enjoying. And one forgets that this material embodiment is the cause of all miseries. One thinks, yes, now I'm happy. Now I'm, all my needs are fulfilled. Now I'm, everything is nice. So therefore, one should be very, very careful to avoid this trap of Maya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see King Prataparudra, on the grounds of his being a king. Vishayi. Vishayi means a sense enjoyer. He was very strict, and he exiled his associate, Chota Haridas, on account of a slight association with women. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. He said, Akarad api bhetavyam strinam vishayinam api yatahair manasa kshobhas tata tasyakriter api. The meaning is that when we see a snake, a live serpent, or even the form of a snake, then we at once become afraid. If you see a snake, then you won't think, let me see. As soon as we see a snake, we're out of there quickly. We don't stay around to see what the fangs look like. At once, we become very much afraid of a snake. So similarly, one should be very much afraid, strinam vishayinam api, of woman and vishayi, materialistic people. One should be very much afraid, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. One should be very much afraid. One time Srila Prabhupada said that the trouble with my students, especially Western boys and girls, he said, they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So one should be very much afraid. How powerful is the illusory energy? And one should strictly keep one's distance from the danger offered by the material energy. Especially in the renounced order, the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is that this is abominable. What is that? For a brahmachari living under the care of the guru to break his vow of celibacy. The householder life is not disapproved. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, among his associates, had many householders, and he approved of householder life. But he was didn't approve of what Srila Prabhupada called drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. You're doing nirjal, not drinking a drop of water, making a show. But when you go to take your bath and you're under the water, then you can drink, because no one will see. Or drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. So the householder life is approved, but the house of the so-called renounced life, in which one indulges in the association of women, is abominable. Now the brahmachari living under the care of the guru should never break his vow. And the vanaprastha, he also becomes abominable if he lives in the village and indulges in so-called social activities. The vanaprastha life means to get out of the material sphere. The vanaprastha is not meant for living at home and going to visit his different relatives and attending marriages and social functions. That's not vanaprastha life. One, I was in Delhi, and we were staying at the home of some friends. So the one person was older gentleman. So they were living at home, the young man and his wife and child, and the parents, father and mother. So one devotee said that yes, he's in vanaprastha life. He's given up his business and he's living as vanaprastha and coming to the temple and chanting. So it was a fact, he's coming to the temple and chanting, and he's also donating very generously for our activities. But it's not exactly vanaprastha life. That's not at all vanaprastha life, to live at home with one's family members and in the morning perform some religious activities, chant Hare Krishna and go to the temple, and then come back home and watch television and then go here and there for different social activities. That's not vanaprastha life. Vanaprastha life means that one lives in the van, in the forest. They used to go and live on fruits and berries and wear tree bark, and so austerely they would live. So in the present age, we can't expect our vanaprasthas to live on roots and berries and dress with the bark of trees. Therefore, the acharyas have recommended that they should go to Vrindavan. If we have to live in a forest, then this forest is recommended, Vrindavan. Prabhupada was also very unhappy when he saw that the Vrindavan guest house was becoming overrun with families and children. Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is not meant for this. Vrindavan is meant for renounced life. So particularly the persons who are finished with family life, and at the age of 50 one should finish it. They should get out of home and go to a place like Vrindavan or Mayapur. There are different holy places, Jagannath Puri, and engage in devotional service to Krishna, or go from place to place only for devotional service. Not that they remain in social affairs and say, yes, now I'm retired. That's not retirement according to Vedic culture. Retirement means retire from material entanglement. Not just retire from work, but retire from sense gratification. So the vanaprastha who goes on with the activities of sense enjoyment in family life is also living an abominable existence. And the sannyasi who indulges in sense gratification, he's living an abominable existence. Sannyas means complete nyas, completely finishing this material existence. So sannyasi indulges in sense enjoyment in the name of the renounced order, then that's most abominable. And Bhagavatam says that such persons, such fallen brahmacharis or vanaprasthas or sannyasis, one should just give up their association. If either one should help them come back to the real position, or one should abandon them, have nothing to do with them, because it's so abominable. One should strictly follow these principles of freedom from material existence if one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead.
There's some questions.
For the ideal perfection, there are three different processes which are mentioned in this purport. That is the Buddhist, the Vaishnavas, and the Sankharites. Now, in the Buddhist process, basically, Buddha, which is in the Vedas, has depicted as the incarnation of Krishna, but to actually teach against Vedas. That's the time the incarnation of Buddha came into existence in this universe. Now, the process of Buddhist, that means, is against Vedas. So how does that process help you to reach highest perfection?
But at least on this point, they're all in agreement. No sex. No sex. So it's good from that point of view. A person is a sense enjoyer. He's completely entrapped in material existence. At least if he becomes a Buddhist, he gives up sex. If he becomes a serious Buddhist, at least he gives up sex. So then that's progress in the mission of human life.
But do they still attain the highest state?
Highest perfection means freedom from birth and death. Nirvana. Highest, of course, can be seen from different angles of vision. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions here process in the highest degree is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Buddhists are not in the highest degree. They're in a lower degree, but at least they're in the process. Give up material enjoyment. Give up sex life. Just Buddhist means negative. Not this, not this, not this, not this. Shankara Sampradaya means the same thing. They don't know the positive reality, but at least they know what the negative, false representation of reality is. They know that this material world is not the real home of the living being. So they know that the force by which it appears real, although it's not, is the force of sex life. So all of them cut the false material life of the bewildered living entity by cutting the attachment to sex life. So from that point of view, Prabhupada is saying it's very good. It doesn't mean we're advocating become a Buddhist. But better to become a Buddhist than to be a sense enjoyer.
Another question is that in the Vanashra Dharma, person who are following it, and although they are in the material existence too, in the sense they have they're earning their living and they have their own householder's life, but in that, wouldn't that involve certain kind of social interaction and social activities which become a prerequisite to go on with? But all this, Krishna is in the center, isn't it still in the realm of spirituality?
Social activities are allowed in householder life.